Yes.
Dhanavad Maharaj.
Dhanavad.
So the first question comes from Gupta Govardhan. It is said, what is indication that we are moving to the right direction in our spiritual life?
We hear reference to Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnav. That the advices of these divine agents and sources of revelation, they should run in parallel. We get some impression from one and we see that it's being echoed by the others. So that's, in a general sense, minimally. But I always think of Sripad Bhakti Madhur Mangal Maharaj, and who for so many years was at the Dum Dum Park Mott in Calcutta, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Krishnano Shilana Sangha. And sometimes say, oh, Mangal Maharaj, how are you? And he'd say, I don't know. You know. And then he would say what the Vaishnavas say. Gopal was here, he could say the Bengali, but they say, as you keep me. That's what they say. In other words, as I am seen by you, the impressions, because they're taking themselves in a humble position, saying, you're the superior. So what do I know of my own welfare or whether I'm going the right direction or not? I really don't know. But you are Vaishnava. As you say, that's how I am. So if in your estimation I'm all right, then I'm all right. But even if I think I'm going right, if you're displeased with me, then I'm going wrong. Right? And you will see this consistently throughout in the lives of all devotees, and even expressed by Mahaprabhu himself when he's with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. We know Mahaprabhu is Swayam Bhagavan, Avatar Sar Gaura Avatar. But he's playing a particular role, and there he's a young sannyasi. He's 24 years old. Generally, we're told you shouldn't take sannyas till you're like in your mid-50s. That's the general Varnashram way. And here he is, a 24-year-old sannyasi. And in this regard, as a footnote, Guru Maharaj said, in the time of war, a young soldier may be promoted to become a general out of necessity. And Saraswati Thakur says, kirtan means a fight. It's a war, Krishna conception against the mayic misconception. So that if even young men out of the necessity of this struggle, this fight, are promoted to high positions, it's understandable. But still, he's 24, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is an elderly, not only scholarly pundit, but the court pundit of the king of Puri, Prataparudra Maharaj. That means the most prestigious scholarly position. Right? His name is Vasudev, and Sarvabhauma his title, because it means like, in a sense, sarva, like it means who's world renowned, that kind of thing. And what sense that, I mean, quite simply, like he knows more than anyone. Right? That's why he's the court pundit. And to him, Mahaprabhu says, I am a young sannyasi. I don't know how to inquire. I don't even know the right questions to ask. So you please help me. I don't even know the right question to ask you. That's how unqualified I am. And he's Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then how should we present ourselves? He also will say, when Prakasananda Saraswati Thakur, the great Mayavadi sannyasin with 60,000 sannyas disciples in Varanasi, approaches him and says, you know, why aren't you studying philosophy, Vedanta? Said, I hear you're singing and dancing, and I hear something like crying and, you know, bhavuk. Sometimes bhavuk just means like a sentimental person who cries easily. Sometimes not. You know, muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. The real, the bhav who have that real feeling, they'll appreciate this Bhagavatam and the rasik, the relishers of rasa. But otherwise, in conventional conversational Bengali, it can just mean like a sentimental fool. Right? Someone who's too emotional. So that's what he's saying to him. And what does Mahaprabhu say? Oh, my Guru Maharaj Yeshwarpuri saw me as a fool. So he didn't tell me to study philosophy. He said, you foolish boy, you chant this Maha Mantra, and you'll get everything from that. Don't waste your time studying all this philosophy. Again, these statements are ironic in the literary sense. Of course he doesn't need to study philosophy. He himself is Siddhanta personified. He's Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And we find out in time, he starts coming out with Sarvabhauma. About this Atmarama Sloka, Sarvabhauma gives 9 explanations. He doubles that, gives 18. Then Sarvabhauma is thinking, it's not just a boy before me, but this is divine. And then Mahaprabhu reveals his Shadbhuj Murti, 6-armed form, saying, who, 2 arms Ramachandra, who came as Ramachandra in the Raghubangsha, now, who later came as Krishna, Chandrabangsha, now he is Gaurahari, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That not any less, the same. In fact, Avatar Sar, you know, Swayam Bhagavan. So, if he is ostensibly humbly asking for advice and direction, how shall everyone else be? Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, he's the leader of the Goswamis. We say Rupa Nugalain, and in some places he even includes himself as a Rupanuga. But Rupa Goswami reveres Sanatana as guru. So he's generally considered their leader. And he, having come to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, and we understand that some things he perceived as unfavorable transpired along the way. So what did he do? He approached Mahaprabhu's secretary, Jagadananda Pandit, and said, Prabhu, what do you think I should do? I came here from Mahaprabhu's association and the highest auspiciousness, and now I'm getting the opposite result. I'm thinking maybe I should return to Vrindavan. What is your advice? And Jagadananda Pandit gives his advice. Yes, I also think you should return to Vrindavan. Later, when Mahaprabhu hears this, we hear he's upset. Why? Because he's saying, Jagadananda, calling him by a nickname thing. He's a boy, and he has the audacity to instruct you that's inappropriate. So we learn one thing there. But another thing we learn is about the humility of Sanatana Goswami, that to some degree, aware of his seniority, and position, rank, if you will, within that Paribar, their group of associates, Parishads, that he's willing to take advice from a relatively junior devotee. He doesn't think, oh, he's junior to me. What advice can he give me? Rather, he's saying, no, he's with Mahaprabhu all the time. I'm visiting. He's in a good position to advise me. So, of course, we preceded these remarks, prefaced these remarks by saying Mahaprabhu was angry at Jagadananda Pandit for having the audacity to instruct Sanatana Goswami. But we also observe the humility of Sanatana Goswami and exhibited and demonstrated in his willingness to take direction even from someone in a junior position. So, we hear in Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere, Yo mam pashyati sarvatra mayi sarvam pashyati. Prabhupada renders it as, you know, for one who sees me everywhere and in everything, I am never lost to him, nor is he lost to me. So he's talking about a particular level of awakening, of spiritual vision, right? As Guru Maharaj says, to acquire the proper angle of vision. So, but Guru, another thing we should consider, very beautifully expressed by Guru Maharaj, he said, who is Guru is who addresses the inner awakenment and unfoldment of our heart. Unfoldment's not even a word, I think. Sometimes Guru Maharaj is creating a new word. Like, because you could say unfolding, but I'm just quoting literally what he said. But he said, so who addresses, in other words, your heart is awakening to a particular prospect. It's awakening and that's unfolding in time. It's developing. And he said, and who is Guru? Who's addressing that? It may be different at different times. You know, the necessity of a baby is different than a toddler or a child, right? We know a baby, we're seeing a few appearing here recently, that they need to be with the mother like all the time. But we see when they get a little bit more developed, they can be with like auntie or, you know, friend of mother or in the old days, wet nurse. They can start getting nourishment from others is what I mean to say and be safely in the care of others. And it's similar. There's a parallel in spiritual development, that especially in the beginning, we need just to always be under the constant care and guidance of our Gurudev. That is best. If that is not possible, then the extension of Gurudev, his appointed representatives, surrogates, etc. But it's very important for the development. Just like we see, we're told, you know, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Wandering the length and breadth of the universe, the world of misconception, fortunate souls come in connection with an agent of proper conception of the Supreme Reality. They're moving in this plane. And then we say, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai. So the combined mercy of Krishna to send Guru to address the inner awakening and unfoldment of heart, and Guru to nourish and guide one to Krishna. Like Prabhupada, title of one of his little books was On the Way to Krishna. Right? So you can think like that. On the Way to Krishna. So they're addressing those necessities. But why did I say? Oh, so the but that says bhakti lata beads. Lata means a creeper, like we're talking about. That's what they are. They're lata. So bhakti lata beads. So you get the seed, then it starts to sprout. And we know when there's a seedling, right? Newly sprouted seed, a seedling, they're kept in a nursery, right? Like you said, he took them to the nurse. So they're in the nursery because they need precisely controlled conditions. Soil, watering, temperature, sunlight, everything's very critical for early development. And then when they get bigger, and they're rooted in the soil, and the experts can observe, they say, oh, this one is ready for what? Transplanting. So they say, we can now take this one out of the nursery and put it into the environment, still with certain controls, and it's likely to survive, thrive, develop, and reach maturity. It's very similar to that. But just see how much guidance you need at every step all along the way. And in Krishna consciousness, there's never a point where you don't need guidance. Ever. Even the super servitors, as we're saying in the case of Sanatana Goswami, but you know, Srimati Radharani is consulting with Lalita Sakhi what to do. What do you need to know more than that? Okay. Krishna consulting with Madhu Mangal what to do, some strategy. Because Radharani and Lalita Sakhi and Vishnu, they're very intelligent. So too, interact with them requires a lot of thoughtfulness and consideration. So even Krishna's seeking advice. So there's that. And when we say addressing the inner awakening and inner gradual unfoldment of heart, there's guru appears in varieties of ways, one of which is known as Patta Pradarshak. Pat means like path, like the English word path. It's not spelled similarly, but in Sanskrit, pat, patta. So Patta Pradarshak, just like the word darshan, Pradarshak, so a Patta Pradarshak means way shower. And he says, come this way. Very often they have a light, right? They go, come, follow me, come this way. I will take you there to where you need to go. Or I will bring you to whom you need to meet. This happens very often with devotees. Many, if not most, have some story of some other devotee taking them to meet their guru, who later became their guru. Then by analysis and retrospect, we can say, oh, that person performed the function of a Patta Pradarshak guru. Which, footnote, Guru Maharaj, is not a permanent position. Patta Pradarshak is not permanent. So, the way shower. But still, respect is shown. I think, again, every devotee who's had the good fortune to come in connection with the Krishna consciousness movement, there's some devotee who may have been, just for the sake of this talk, we'll say rank and file. In other words, maybe not someone in the highest position, a so-called rank and file devotee, although all Vaishnavas are worshipable to us. And we may consider even Shiksha Guru, because they're giving us instructions to send us in the right direction. But we revere them, and if you ask any one of these devotees, they'll say, oh, they'll name that person and how they were. kind to them and showed them, led them along the way to their guru. It's interesting. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamritam, the first words practically, or you know, Bande Gurun Isha Bhaktan Ishan Ishavatarakam Tat Prakasham Tat Chaktis Krishna Chaitanya Samyakam. But the first word, Bande Gurun, plural, saying, I offer my obeisances to the gurus, plural. So I once pointed out in an introduction to the Guardian Devotion pamphlet about the transcendental relationship between Srila Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj, that what if you take it that Charitamritam is the postgraduate study or secondary education, then it begins with these words, means unless you're ready and willing to embrace a plurality of gurus, you can't enter into the mysteries of this literature. And immediately then you're presented with Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. You know, Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudo Diye Pushpavanto something Tamo Nido. So this, in other words, it means your conception is broadening. First, that you can recognize there's one devotee of Krishna. That's of paramount importance. But then we don't see devotees in isolation. We see, oh, so many servitors. Like we say, there's Radha and Krishna, and then what we see, Lalita Vishakha. And then they have their assistants, and we see a hierarchy of servitors, culminating in the super servitors, and the supreme servitor, Srimati Radharani. So, in his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj, he titled the first chapter, The Spiritual Masters. Right? Not the spiritual master, the spiritual masters. And there we hear about Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, Mantra Guru, Chaitya Guru, and Patta Pradarshak by way of this very peculiar reference to from the Krishna Karnamritam of Bilva Mangal Thakur, Chintamani's Somagiri Guruscha Shiki Pincha Moli. What do you think? There are so many slokas glorifying Guru, and others are given there. But why this one is selected, I've always found of peculiar interest. Because the first one he mentions, Chintamani, then Somagiri, etc. So Chintamani, Somagiri, first of all, you're saying, was a Mayavadin. But still, because he got something there going in the direction, he's showing some respect. But Chintamani, those who are familiar with the story know that she was a prostitute. So how peculiar it is that he's saying, I offer my dandavats, my obeisances to the prostitute, Chintamani, my guru. Why? Why? You could include so many other slokas about guru. Why this one? If there's not something, some important gradation for us to understand. So, and for those who have not heard, we like to say, the story of Bilbo Mangal Thakur. We hear he's at the funeral of his father, right? And, you know, it's raining like crazy, mad, whatever better word might be for when it rains heavily. Pouring rain. And he's at his father's funeral. Normally we hear of something called smashan vairagya. Means when we attend the funeral of a loved one or something, like momentarily we're overwhelmed by feelings of renunciation. We're thinking, what is this world? What is my place in this? What kind of a world is it where this happens? And momentarily you're filled with feelings of renunciation. And then we know, in time that wears off. But here, in his case, he's at the funeral of his father and he's thinking of the prostitute, Chintamani. I'd rather be with her than be here. In other words, he's out of control. His mind is very much out of control. He can't even turn this off at the funeral of his father. And in the midst of the pouring rain, he leaves that funeral ceremony to go and visit the prostitute Chintamani. Along the way, and it's really pouring rain, thundering lightning, the riverbanks overflow. He can't go over a bridge. So in the madness of his lust, he jumps in the river and he's trying to swim to the other side. He almost drowns. But he reaches on to something to buoy himself, and he makes it to the other side. Then he discovers that what kept him afloat was a dead body, a corpse that was floating there. He grabbed onto that and made it to the other side somehow. Then like, ugh. Then he goes to her place, vine-covered walls. It's thundering and lightning, so no one can hear him. He's knocking, ringing the bell, whatever. No one's coming. In the madness of his lust, he decides to scale the wall. And to hoist himself up, he's pulling on this thing repeatedly, going up, 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 and over, and he realizes what he was grabbing onto was not a vine, but a python. Python? You know what it means, right? No, but the big ones. Like, we live next to Myanmar, Burma. It's famous. The Burmese python. They're sometimes, 5 meters. They're very... That's how he made it over the wall. Then he finally comes to her door. And she opens the door, Chintamani, and sees him. He's a total mess. His clothes are drenched. And she gets some divine inspiration comes to her. And she says, if you had a drop of this type of feeling and sentiment, for devotion to the Supreme Lord, you would be a great devotee. A drop of this sort of intensity and passion and dedication expressed toward Krishna, you would be a great devotee. And she's disgusted, but some message descended through her to him, and he had an awakening and thought, what am I doing? Then he goes off and becomes a monk, renounced and everything. But in time, He sometimes they go from house to house to begging, and the householders will say, "Oh, you can, here's some food for you, or you can stay with us tonight," or whatever. And he at the house of a Brahmin, the Brahmin and his wife, and he becomes full of desire for the Brahmin's wife. And this is culture at another time. So understand clearly what I'm saying. This is culture and people of a higher quality and class at another time. But he says to that Brahmin, and the Brahmin is saying, you know, if they've given him dinner, everything, is there anything else you desire? And he said, your wife. And that Brahmin says to his wife, prepare yourself to receive him. Different time, different culture. So he goes to his room, and the wife comes dutifully, obeying the order of her husband, and she's before him, and he says to her, remove your hairpin. She has it, you know, her hair tied up, and she pulls the hairpin, gives it to him, and her hair comes tumbling down. So she looks even more beautiful. But he takes that hairpin and plucks out his eyes. And he thinks, if these eyes are going to drag me down repeatedly to the mundane platform, then better I don't have them. Again, another time, another place. This is not a recommendation. You know, don't try this at home. But imagine, that's what he did. Plucked his eyes out. That type of seriousness, like, then if they're not going to be used for spiritual purpose, then better I don't have them. They're going to drag me into a plane of forgetfulness of Krishna. And then we're told as he evolves spiritually that he's blind, he needs some assistance. And he's writing songs, Krishna Karanamritam, very beautiful things, means Krishna nectar for the ear. And so he needs an assistant. So some little boy is helping him, you know, like hold the hand, and, you know, walk this way for the necessities of life, food, you know, little boy is helping. Some little boy is very attracted to what's coming out of his heart, his deep heart's core. All this Krishna nectar for the ear is coming out of his heart. This little boy is very enamored by that, drawn to that, the quality of substance coming out of his heart. But that boy is also naughty. So sometimes when they're going, and he knows Bilbo Mangal is completely dependent upon him, the little boy will go pull his hand away. So he's like, has no guidance whatsoever. But he's blind. But Bilbo Mangal Thakur says to the little boy, you may be able to remove your hand from my hand, but you will never be able to remove your lotus feet from my heart. The little boy is Krishna. So then if this happens, you're going in the right direction. And once Gurudev said to me, he said, so someone took sannyas and he left it. Now he's come back and taken it again, and he's written some book with his realizations. Should we read that book? Pause. He said, that book is Krishna Karanamritam, favorite to Mahaprabhu. behind closed doors with Srup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, one of the handful of compositions that were he was relishing day and night for the last 12 years of his manifest pastimes. Deep Radhabhav, the depths of Radhabhav, plunging the depths of Radhabhav, listening to Krishna Karanamritam, Jagannath Balabha Natakam, Gita Govinda of Jayadev, songs of Chandidas and Vidyapati. And in the case, I'm reminded of Srila Guru Maharaj, that when we presented him with the golden volcano of divine love, which we know is really Guru Maharaj revealing extensively how to properly conceive Mahaprabhu, including the Shikshashtakam, it's in the latter part, his commentary. So, because he once said to me, of all the books you've published, Search for Sri Krishna, Reality of the Beautiful, Sri Guru and His Grace, Golden Volcano of Divine Love, Loving Search for the Lost Servant, Subjective Evolution of Consciousness, Play of the Sweet Absence, which one do you like most? And I was like, I couldn't answer the question. Because I thought, what if I say the wrong thing? You know, but, and I couldn't say, which one do I was at a loss how to respond. And seeing me there, bewildered, Guru Maharaj started to smile. And he said, like a bashful child, like with his cheeks, you know, becoming rosy, he said, I like Golden Volcano. And I was saying, I should have known. It's Mahaprabhu. With Guru Maharaj, there's Mahaprabhu, Radharani, Krishna. Like that. Mahaprabhu means the triumph of Radharani. It's devotion over Krishna. The combat. You think, Krishna's, we're told, inconceivably beautiful. Kandarpakoti kaminiya vishesha shobham. Kandarpakoti means 10 million cupids. If they personified as one, that's the type of irresistible, seductive charm and beauty of Krishna. We can't handle one cupid in this world. So imagine, it's unthinkable. 10 million? One person who's got 10 million times cupid potency to charm and attract? We would faint. Like Koti Kami Murchitangri, Rupa Rasaranga. But, so, and Krishna, you know, Achintya Gunasrup, inconceivably beautiful. So you think, and, you know, he's Krishna. How do you improve on that? That's not possible. You cannot. But, as inconceivable, there's Srimati Radharani. As Krishna's Madan Mohan, so beautiful Cupid's bewildered, she is Madan Mohan Mohini. She can bewilder all attractive Krishna with her beauty, charm, sweetness. Remember, her form is the, her divine form is comprised of her devotional sweetness, qualities, charms, everything. That's what it's composed of. But anyway, so the inconceivably beautiful Radharani who can even bewilder Krishna. But if you combine the two of them, which is practically unthinkable, then what level of beauty do you begin to approach? The divine combination of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the divine combination of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. That's why Mahaprabhu first. So, Guru Maharaj was extremely happy to receive the golden volcano and took it as, and Gurudev saw these books as murtis. And we used to think, well, if you had to say which murtis were they, then search for Sri Krishna would be a murti of Krishna, Sri Guru and His Grace would be a murti of Srimati Radharani, and Golden Volcano of Divine Love would be the murti of Mahaprabhu. So, and Guru Maharaj got a letter from our Siddhanti Maharaj, Chidananda Prabhu at the time. He was in Puri and he said he had heard that the seva of the Gambhir, that room where Mahaprabhu lived his last 12 years, plunging the depths of Radha Bhav, that the service, caretaker service, was becoming available. Sometimes it transfers. It's a little complicated, but every, you know, it can happen every 50 years or 100 years, whatever. So Guru Maharaj sent me and his secretary to see if we could get that. And when we went there, although they're generally not so welcoming to others, whoever was the gentleman in charge, he got some inspiration, I gave him Golden Volcano, and he put it, there's an asan there where Mahaprabhu used to sit, marking the place of where he sits. They don't put anything there. Maybe a paduka, even paduka, you know, his divine shoes or something. But he took the Golden Volcano and put it there. And when we looked through and could see it, it appeared as though the book was Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu was the book. It was some divine dispensation, something divine taking place. But tried as we might, we were unable to get that save. It was a complicated, ongoing concern. But when I returned, or before I left, Guru Maharaj said, and if you get it, I will come to inaugurate that seva. And which might sound like a simple thing, but remember, at this time, Guru Maharaj is living on his veranda. He only comes downstairs like 3 or 4 times a year. Gaur Purnima, Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, his own appearance day, and Radhastami. That was about it. And so, incapacitated, to say the least. So when he said, if you get that seva, I'll go there and for the inauguration. And he could see the look, the look of shock on my face, because I'm thinking like, girl, he won't survive the journey. And seeing that to me, recognizing that, he said, and if I die going, to the Gambhira and Puri, he said, at least I will have died going in the right direction. That's how meaningful it was to him, how substantial. But the only way we know with any certainty is with the approval of the other Vaishnavas. Of course, Guru, when we say Guru and Vaishnav. But if the devotees, God brothers and God sisters, express some pleasure or approval, that's a good sign. If they express disapproval, then we should consider what's being said and most likely adjust ourselves if we value their guidance. Guru Maharaj said, do not be overly confident in your own judgment or assessment of things. always consult with senior, more experienced Vaishnavas who have proved to be reliable reliable in their representation of Guru. Guru may have indicated that, yes, this person can be relied upon to give you good advice. So many things we consider. But when I say not to be overly confident in one's own judgment, assessment of things, I mentioned Mahaprabhu, and I'll just conclude with this, because I did mention the Gita Govinda of Jayadeva Goswami. So he's arguably one of the greatest poets of India of all time. And this beautiful Gita Govinda, even the name is beautiful, Gita Govinda. And we sang on the appearance days of the major avatars, the Dash Avatar Stotram. But many high things are there. And Srila Gurudev, one thing he liked to hear, and it was favorite to Mahaprabhu, just hearing this would put him in ecstasy. But Gurudev said, good for hearing, but not for explaining. And you see some of the skill and beauty of what Jayadeva is expressing, because it's like, Lalita Lavanga Lata Parishilana Kamala Malaya Samire Maru Karabi Karakarambita Kokila Kunjita Kunja Kutire. So you hear it's going like la 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 ma 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 ku 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 ku, like that. Lalita Lavanga Lata Parishilana Kamala Malaya Samire Maruka. Now the Marukarabi Kara Karambita Kokila Kaka Kaka. Then Kunjita Kunja Kutire Ku Ku Ku. That's Jayadeva Goswami. So, but he's writing Gita Govinda, and we hear some inspiration comes to him, but he's thinking, This is too much to express. That in their, we hear, and their love pastimes in the world, sometimes there's a reason for quarrel, sometimes for no reason there's quarrel. And there needs to be apologies, even there. Right? So he's thinking of writing that Krishna will bow down and touch his head to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, begging forgiveness. And then he thinks, I can't write that. I can't express that. Like, maybe I'm getting carried away here. So he puts the pen down and goes to bathe. Right? His wife is cooking lunch. Then we're told, Krishna comes in his form of Jayadev, her husband, comes in an identical form and goes into the room, picks up the pen and writes that Radha Madaya Hride, that's another thing, but Dehi Padapallavam Udaram. Krishna writes it. And then comes out and the wife says, oh, here she serves him lunch and he's eating happily. And then goes. Then her actual husband comes back from bathing and sees his wife is eating, and their custom was she'll serve the husband, then afterwards she will eat. So he sees his wife's already eating. He's thinking, what are you doing? What? And she says, what do you mean? And he said, well, I'm just come back from bathing. And she said, why do you? Maybe you're becoming forgetful. Don't you remember? You went into the room and finished what you were writing. Then you came out and took prasadam. And Jayadeva said, what? And he goes into the room and looks in the book And he sees Krishna with his own hand wrote Dehi Padapallavam Udaram. Means he wanted the world to know this. Yes, I bow my head and touch the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and beg forgiveness. The Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Absolute. I do this. I want it to be known. The glories of my devotee, particularly my highest devotee, to be sung everywhere. There's no limits to her greatness. So then Jayadeva realized what he hesitated to express, not being overly confident in his own judgment, assessment of things, Krishna personally confirmed. Then, of course, he went to his wife and said, Padmavati, give me some of that prasadam, realizing that they were directly Krishna's remnants, what she was taking. That's another indication that you're going in the right direction. We aspire to that, not to that, but to the vision that that represents. We want to serve that plane. Not to make light of it. We don't ever envision ourselves in a similar way. That would be aparad. But we've heard that such things exist, there is such a plane, and our aspiration is to serve the lotus feet of those super servitors of that domain. Hare Krishna.